T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're back. Marks and Reese live at Shakey's and Pete's in South Philly. Ike will return on Monday, I guess, weather permitting. I think it's going to be fine by, I'm not sure when he was supposed to be coming back into town.
Sunday, I think you can get back into town. Tomorrow, maybe not.
Tomorrow's going to be a little bit tough. Joe Giglio is in the Ike chair today here at Shakey's in South Philly. And if you heard the news, Shakey's and Pete's is coming to Malvern. If you want to join a winning team at Shakey's and Pete's Malvern, go to shakeysandpetes.com for details on the new Malvern location. I believe we're going to be going when Malvern has the grand opening, official grand opening coming up here in a week or two. So we look forward to checking you out at Shakey's and Pete's. Wednesday the 9th is the preliminary date that I was told, but don't quote me on that just quite yet. But looking
forward
to
it. Are you the Woj of Shakey's releases?
I must be. Yes, wow. I must be. Except I'm not being used as a pawn by organizations. I'm actually just telling you what I was told just for my schedule.
You're not pretending you're a reporter here. This is what
No. I'm not a pawn like Schefter and Woj and some of these other people. Shams that the agent or the team uses to try to
all the clutch people all of a sudden had Daryl Morey's favorite story this week.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. See right through that. All right. Before we get – so everybody be careful out there because the snow is coming down. It's going to get worse. We'll get an updated weather forecast coming up here in a second. But Jimmy Garoppolo, for someone like me, Joe Giglio, that says straight up and straight out, I would never want this guy to be the quarterback of my team. And I wouldn't. You can't argue with when he plays.
They win.
They win.
I think it's like 33-15.
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. It really is. And here's something that I also agree with. His guys believe in him, and they have his back. I don't know if it's because he's kind of this alpha, good-looking, like – he looks smooth on the football field. He throws it like he looks like he should be a star quarterback, right?
Yeah. I think also part of it is when he's been out, he's missed a lot of time with injuries.
They've lost.
Like the opposite was here, right? When Carson went down, they won games with Nick. So it was like, it was weird.
And there was something to that.
Yes. But when Garoppolo gets hurt, they never win. So those players must think he's better than he is.
There's something.
Yeah.
There's something about Jimmy Garoppolo. That's a fact. You can't argue with that. That's a fact. Kyle Juszczyk, one of the only four fullbacks, I think, left in the NFL. Jimmy Garoppolo said, as long as the guys in the locker room have faith in me and believe in me, that's all I really care about. Juszczyk retweeted and said, we love you, Jim. And then Debo Samuel said, crazy how y'all have so much to say about our quarterback. Check his win percentage. Okay, I'll wait. Pure winner.
Quarterback win guy, Debo.
Dude, I'm telling you, he's king intangible. And Jalen Hurts, eat your heart out, man. Jimmy Garoppolo's got you beaten every intangible in the book from 49er fans because he's got a Super Bowl appearance at least to show.
Start calling Jalen Hurts mobile Jimmy G just to get you mad.
Oh, I can't wait to do it again this weekend when I fight with 49ers fans. But even I will admit that there is something to how they win with them.
Yeah, and that's why they will trade Lance if they get to a Super Bowl. They have to.
Now, I don't know if he's willing them to victory if they don't have an elite defense and they can run the football and everything
details,
right? Yeah, like those deal. But like with what they're trying to do, as long as he's healthy, and that's been the biggest issue with Jimmy Garoppolo, it's definitely worked for him. So his guys have his back. Guys have his back, which is even more the reason, Joe Giglio, to strike while the iron's hot. Maybe John Lynch is saying, you go to the Super Bowl, you win the Super Bowl. If you trade or you don't bring Jimmy Garoppolo back, or frankly, if you don't extend him, if I'm in that locker room and I'm one of the members of this young core, I'm not happy about it. Right? So what do? You trade the raw young quarterback that hasn't made an impression in San Francisco. No one cares. You trade him. Get your draft picks back. I'll take it. Right now, Trey Lance, Philadelphia, 2 first-rounders. Who says no?
Me. I'm out. keep Jalen Hurts in the picks.
All right, let's get to Greg in Atlanta. We'll get an updated weather forecast from Bruce in a second. Greg, go ahead, man. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, stay safe up there. I knew there was a reason I moved down here, and this is it. But be careful up there this weekend.
Thank you,
have
Greg.
Some fun.
Appreciate it.
Hey, so, Joe, you keep mentioning that Lance hasn't thrown a pass in 2-3 years, right, at least on the field?
Well, he's only started he's only started three games in two seasons because of, you know, he's a backup this year, and then last year North Dakota State only had one game because of the pandemic season.
So how many years did Aaron Rodgers sit on the bench?
I think it was four.
So, like, you're assuming that because the guy doesn't throw it all, he's not developing at all, is my point, which I think with my example on Rodgers, it makes it pretty clear. It really doesn't matter if he hasn't played as far as a concern. Now, what would I do? I mean, you've got two extra picks from getting rid of Carson and just moving down a couple spots. So if you're going to take a chance, like Jack says, to be great, because I think Trey Lance is, would you agree that he probably could reach Jalen Hurts' level?
Yeah. I mean, I would think if he can't, then he's going to turn
the
out
ceiling,
to be a bust.
The ceiling is much higher, but he also could be a not in the league in 5 years. You know what I mean? He could be a total disaster.
And Greg, you're probably right. I mean, I'm sure he's developing behind the scenes. It's an unknown. We haven't watched. I mean, what quarterback would you trade multiple picks for that you haven't watched play in 2 years? Virtually haven't watched him play in 2 years.
Well,
that's a lot.
That's fair. And the discussion just started because I guess you tweeted that out. So it's interesting. It's interesting conversation for an off season of uncertainty and everything, but with a couple extra picks, I would definitely take a chance, because this is when you take a chance where you're not really mortgaging too much because you still have all those picks. I would tell San Francisco, out of the next four first round picks, I have three this year and one next year. You pick two, pick any two, give us Lance and figure it out from there. That's what I would do.
I would offer, thank you, Greg, I would offer the middle pick this year.
16,
and then I would say next year's pick. And you know what, Joe? Maybe you give them two this year because next year's pick could be even that more valuable.
I would think the Niners would ask for next year's because they say, well, this guy hasn't played. Eagles have a second-place schedule. They could flop out of the playoffs.
And I would say, yes, it's okay. They could. I mean, I wouldn't expect them to be a playoff team next year with Trey Lance, unless he, like, it is true, he probably should be more refined next year, right? Like, he looked really raw when he played, but also he's going to need to play to get better. He's going to need the on-field reps to get better. You can do all the practicing and everything else that you want. He'll be more prepared to play this year. Just, you're not making, because if you think about it, Mac Jones ran into this at the end of the season. He was exhausted. He never had an off season. He went from national championship game right to the draft process, right to getting drafted, right to moving to Boston, right to learning a new offense, starting 17 games and then a playoff game. By the end of the year, he was totally cooked, right? So next year, I'm curious to see where Mac Jones is. Trey Lance at least should be more used to being an NFL player next year.
Yeah, but part of me does wonder how good he is, though. I mean, again, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't play well in the beginning of this year. It's easy to say now what we're saying, right? They're not going to get rid of him. They're in the Super Bowl. They were like 3-4 or 3-5. Garoppolo wasn't playing well. Wouldn't that have been the spot? Like, if we were doing shows at San Francisco, what would we have been saying? Bench Garoppolo, get the future in there. They didn't do it. Why?
You know what? Most of the shows were saying that.
Right, and maybe there's
a reason. And I would have been saying that.
There could be a reason. Well, we don't know. Maybe he's not as good as they thought he was.
Well, no, Trey Lance, that was Trey Lance's job to win.
And he didn't win it.
If Trey Lance came out and played well, you don't draft somebody third overall if you're not – like, Jimmy Garoppolo is keeping the seat warm for you. But then he came in and he didn't play well enough, and then Jimmy came back and – the rest is history.
It felt like it was going to be Alex Smith Mahomes, but now it's not trending that way.
No, I can tell you for sure that became a lot of the discussion is, what are we doing here? Why are we putting Garoppolo back in? Now, no one envisioned the Super Bowl appearance or championship at that point.
The whole thing is hilarious that they might go to the Super Bowl after drafting a quarterback at three.
It's unbelievable. All right, back to the phones, but there's a big storm coming, Joe, and no one, I mean no one, does weather better than Marks and Reese. Hit it, Jack. Bruce the Weatherman's coming up.
When weather strikes.
Yeah, I'm reporting live outside and it's freezing.
Marks and Reese Doppler strikes back.
Interim chief meteorologist Jack Fritz in a second, but Bruce the Weatherman, Storm Tracker Bruce. What's up, Brucey?
That was really nice what you just put on. Listen, first of all, let's talk sports for a second. I would not waste the trades on Jimmy G. I want to give Jalen another year. I watch him, you know, Jimmy G is up.
We're talking about trading for Trey Lance.
Yeah,
Bruce.
It's not Jimmy G. It's the idea of the Niners keeping Jimmy G. Would you trade for Lance?
Oh, see, I got in here late. I've been very busy, guys.
No, you're good.
It's all right. You got weather good stuff. We get it.
Listen, I'm wearing my Phillies hat, and if they don't strike, spring training in 3 weeks.
How about that? Well, I think we'll get baseball. I don't know about 3 weeks.
Maybe 9 weeks.
Yeah, we'll get there.
All right, Bruce.
So, as you can imagine, we've been very busy with this thing. This has been one of the biggest challenges I've ever seen in my meteorological career.
Uh-oh.
But getting to the bottom line here, if you're going east out of Philadelphia, down the Atlantic City Expressway or the White or Black Horse Pike, it's going to get very bad very quick. I think Philly is looking at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 inches of snow at the most. But last night we thought it was only going to be 2 or 3. So the thing is moving closer to the coast. The models keep moving it further and further west. So now you're looking at 18 inches plus in Atlantic City, up down through Sea Isle City, all the way to Cape May Point. This is an all-snow event. We have extremely cold Arctic air shooting in from the northwest. That's like supercharging this storm. That storm is sitting over 81-degree Gulf Stream water. That's how warm the Gulf Stream is, which is like 15 degrees warmer than it's supposed to be. So lots of energy, lots of wind, an intense low-pressure center passing right over the benchmark at 40 north and 70 west thereabouts. That's the perfect spot for us. Where I live, I'm like 28 miles inland from Atlantic City. So we're looking at anywhere from 10 to 16, 17 inches of snow here, unless it's closer. So we're talking winds, 50 miles an hour, very dry, powdery snow. So it's going to drift. It's going to be picked up by the wind, blowed around. That's why the blizzard warning, because you won't be able to see to drive. This is a very dangerous situation. After midnight, it's going to be in the teens with driving snow and high winds. Not the place you want to be out in a car or outside at all. Sit home, get yourself a nice bottle of whatever it is you like to drink, and sit and put the spotlight on outside and watch it snow. That's what you do with a storm like this. This is one of those storms that could possibly go into the record books. So not for Philly. But again, down by the shore, you know, we've had three storms down here so far where it was all snow and you guys got less than we did. Well, here's another one, and that's where the pattern is. And believe it or not, after it warms up next week, the following week, we have another snowstorm in the offing. So this is a different winter. It just is. So, you know, well over a foot down here in South Jersey. Oh, it could, you know,
city maybe up to 7-8 inches, and then where I live, far in northern and western suburbs, you're looking at maybe 4 to 6.
Yeah, about where you're at. You're probably looking at only 3 or 4.
Okay.
And and it could be less than that if it's a little further offshore. It could be
Bruce,
a little more.
Keep us updated if the Euro model comes in with different data. Okay.
Well, the Euro model is king for this storm. It was the GFS that kept going east.
H-E-L-L space Y-E-A.
Right. Bruce, thank you, man. We got to run, but always great to talk to you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, there you go, Joe. You're on the 95 corridor.
That's right. Left of the corridor. So I thought maybe only a few inches. It sounds like now 6 or 7. 5, 6, 7, somewhere in that
seems
range.
Seems like the front has changed paths.
Now, Jack, you agree, since Bruce isn't 94 WIP Weather
right.
Center, he's kind of like an independent person out there.
Yeah, well, I'm just a generally trustworthy person in general. You know, I don't make stuff up like these other, you know, sensationalists on TV. And I'm here in 12 to 18 at the shore, 7 to 11 in South Jersey, 4 to 7 inches in Philadelphia, and up in the Poconos where John Marks lives, about 2 to 4 inches. So that's
okay.
My official weather report.
I'd be perfectly fine with less snow.
Yeah, because you don't want to get out there and start shoveling, right? I mean,
I'd prefer not to get the snow blower.
Now, good for you is it's Saturday. You don't have to get to work too early, so you should be able to get both done.
2 to 4 inches of snow is perfect. So it's enough to sled the next day.
Yeah, that's a good amount.
Yeah.
You can make a snowman, right? I mean,
make a snowman, yes.
Do you think the meteorologists will troll Howard the way he trolls them? If they're right this time and he was wrong.
So Howard Eskin has been terminated as the Marks and Reese chief meteorologist.
He's out.
Wow.
Yeah.
After one bad report?
It wasn't just the report was inaccurate.
It was the attitude about it?
It was he ripped the weather people because they're always wrong. And he ended up being wrong even after ripping them, saying that they're pointless and all these other things. And he couldn't be more wrong. He was saying if people listened to his report yesterday, they may not think snow's coming at all. It's dangerous.
He told them not to get bread and milk.
Yes,
and eggs.
He did.
And now no one's going to have French toast tomorrow because of Howard.
Yep. Yeah, because they're sold out now. I'm glad I went when I did, Joe.
I'm having French toast tomorrow. I can't wait.
I can't wait.
But listen to Howard.
Awesome. Some hot chocolate.
No one's happy in the house if you listen to Howard yesterday.
That's true. That's true.
Listen, I think it's a rash decision, but it's one of those gut feels by you, John, and I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for everything that you're doing, Jack.
Hey, I'll keep you updated. I'll give you an update in the 4 o'clock hour.
All right, Jack is in the Marks and Reese Weather Center today. So if you can't get a hold of him, that's where he is. He's not in his usual studio.
Yeah, I'm not in the breaking news booth. We've moved that now to the weather report.
Weather Center. Yes, it's been It's been modernized for that. By the way, just some controversy real fast. John Belaris, the former weather person for a couple of stations here, accusations flying that Jack Fritz banned him from WIP and this show. Is that correct, Jack?
No, not really. Well, here's what happened. He called. We were moving. We were about to go to break and moving off of it. And I was like, yeah, we know we're good on that. But, you know, nice talking to you. I thought I was nice.
So he called. You answered.
Yeah.
And it just didn't feel like a good time in the show to put
Yeah,
like on.
We were about to wrap up. It was ending up. Would have been, like, rushed on. We're about to hit a break. It just didn't make sense show-wise.
So you were just producing. You weren't. It wasn't a personal
thing. Tough situation to be in.
Sometimes as a producer, you need to tell people that they're not good enough to go on the air, that their connection's not good enough. And in this case, John Belaris, it's just not the right time to put you on the air. Frankly, Jack, you know, nothing against John Belaris. I don't need him on the air. Right, like if I want a weather forecast, I don't need him calling in unannounced.
I mean, how many weather people do you need on this station, this show?
We have plenty.
For our two snowstorms a year.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, John, I appreciate you calling in, even though it doesn't seem like you listen to the show all that much. And he's recommending Joe DeCamera takes over for Angelo. That's his vote, as I looked at his social
media. Does
he
get
right
one? Here. Who's my man?
He doesn't. I don't believe he does.
Okay.
But there's not an official ban, which is what he's claiming that there is. There's no ban, not that I know of. Right, it's just like, I think Jack was more or less like he knows that I don't really want him on the air unless, you know, we ask.
It seems like John Belaris was a victim of circumstances yesterday.
Yes.
This wasn't a whole thing to get.
Although I do appreciate him saying he finds me entertaining.
You can't see through that. He's trying to butter up to the next phone call you don't want to take from him.
No, I think he just has a good eye for talent.
All right.
Yeah, I think he does have a good eye for talent. Yeah. Let's go to Andy in Deptford. So, no, like, don't put this on Jack. If anybody put it on me, but, like, I just, you know, sometimes we just can't get a call in because of circumstance and things like that. But I think I've let Jack know before, like, I don't have a lot of interest. So, nothing personal. I just am keeping it real. Andy in Deptford. Andy, how are you?
Yo, John. What's good, buddy?
Andy. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, you sound really good on the morning show, man. I enjoyed that. What was that, Wednesday?
Oh, thank you. Well, Joe DeCamera's getting the job, according to John Belaris. So.
What's he going to do it live?
I was just kidding. Thank you. It was fun. They make it easy to do the show. So, Joe Giglio,
you work all kind of shifts. Mark, you work all kind of shifts.
Yep.
What's the most coveted WIP shift time slot?
Well, morning drive is always the most prestigious and financially rewarding.
That seems like the one across the, you know, across all the cities and stations. Yeah, morning drive. But
That'd be rough, though. Ain't you got to be there at like 4 o'clock?
Well, you know what's rough? I mean, I'm sure it's rough doing every day. And John, you did it the other day. I've done it a couple times over the years. Like parachuting in one day because it throws off your whole schedule. You probably get used to it after a while, Andy. But like what John did the other day, that throws off the whole sleep schedule for the week.
Yeah, it does.
Right.
It screws up your week.
Yeah, I feel you. Yo, with the whole Trey Lance, like, come on, man. Can we stop with this? That has zero merit. It's not going to happen. It makes no sense whatsoever. He can't even beat out Jimmy G. What makes you think you want to get him in there over Jalen Hurts?
Well, the whole reason why, and I thought it was interesting and I didn't believe it at first, but San Francisco looked at it and said, Jimmy Garoppolo is our best quarterback to win right now because we have a roster that can win, and we can then develop Trey Lance, who is very raw, and he's not ready to play right now. I said BS because you don't normally keep a $20-some million quarterback when you just draft somebody. But they meant it, right? They meant it, and it worked for him. It worked for him. But, like, you say that it's not going to happen. Yeah, you're right, it may not happen. It doesn't mean that it shouldn't, right? Like, that's really what the question is. Is this something the Eagles should pursue? And this is something I would absolutely pursue.
Yesterday is Russell Wilson. Today is Trey Lance. Let's just focus on Jalen Hurts. Let's talk about.
No.
Are you sure you want to do that? You want to focus on him? Okay, let's focus on him.
It's championship weekend, right? Let's talk about Andy Reid maybe solidifying himself as one of the greatest coaches of all time.
All right, let's do it.
Let's talk about something relevant like that.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. You got Andy Reid, top 5 wins all time, top 3, number 3 most playoff wins all time. He didn't do it cheating, right? He wins this Super Bowl. Andy Reid wins a couple more, rather. Andy Reid's probably going to go down as the greatest or maybe one of the greatest coaches of all time. Let's talk about that.
That's dynamite, Andy.
I mean, come on. That's the fact. People love hating on Andy Reid, right? But you can't discredit his resume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's a dynamite stuff, Andy. Thank you.
Well, it sounds like Andy wants another Andy Reid Appreciation Day over the next couple of weeks, which we might do. I mean,
sounds like a fun lead idea.
Yeah,
Andy Reid's good. 215.
Yep, he's good. He's awesome. He's excellent. He's going to be one of the top coaches of all time. Which, by the way, he's going to be.
He already is.
Yeah,
top 10 already.
If Andy's right and he wins a couple more, then we start going in the top five stratosphere all time. If
he wins one more Super Bowl, he's had a better 10 years than Belichick.
If he wins another Super Bowl, he's top five easy, right? Because like Don Shula in the wins and stuff like that, like you try to respect it, but guys like Jack don't respect that.
Right.
So it's like Don Shula, like, all right, well, what did he win with the Dolphins or whatever? Belichick's there. Bill Walsh is there. I mean, Chuck Knoll, is that like, you bringing in a Chuck Knoll? Like, come on, it's prehistoric football.
Right.
What Andy Reid has done, the fact that he was running the Chiefs when they said, hey, let's move up to was it 10 to get Mahomes or 11,
whatever it is. From 27 to 10, I think.
Gave up a huge price, identified the best young quarterback in football today for the next 10 years or whatever. I mean, it's amazing. He went, like, a lot of people, maybe even including me, thought that his time had passed when his last years in Philadelphia. And I was surprised he didn't take some time off. He went right to Kansas City. I would have never expected he did this.
Imagine if I told you he'd go to Kansas City and be way better there than
way
he was
better.
Here. And he was excellent here.
Way
I
better.
Mean, he was so good here, and he's been way better there.
You know what he's done? Gotten some players.
Yes.
Tyreek Hill is, you know, a slam pattern where he outruns the entire
two. You know what he's always been? He's always been ahead of the curve. First, he was throwing the ball more than anybody else was, and everyone was mad here in Philadelphia. And now he does all those college concepts.
He does.
He's always ahead of the curve.
You know who the next Andy Reid's going to be?
Who's that?
Sean Payton.
The next Andy Reid,
like the next kind of the next, like he leaves the place after being there for a long time. Except Andy didn't take a year off.
But you think he's better in his second stop?
Yeah, like I think Payton. I think his next stop, he's going to be just as good as he was down in New Orleans, and he's going to go on another like he's younger now than when Pete Carroll got the Seattle.
Sure,
he's 58. Yeah.
My thing is though, Payton already had a great quarterback. He's going to find a better quarterback than
maybe not.
But he's not going to go anywhere that doesn't have a ready built team.
Right.
He'll pick and choose. That's why if he's making $15 million a year doing Fox or Amazon or whatever he's doing, he can in 2 years say, all right, yeah, I'll come and work for you, Jer. Right? Like, Dax has showed that he could be a better quarterback.
He's coaching
than he
the
is.
Cowboys.
It feels like
well,
it.
Maybe he sees that Jalen Hurts is basically Drew Brees and Russell Wilson combined and says, hey, I did that once. Why not do it again?
Maybe.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, Sean Payton's
Where he's going to come.
Sean Payton's the top coach in the league, for sure.
You know what I forgot about? I was reading something on Payton this morning. That he obviously was here first. Quarterback's coach here.
Yep.
And
I remember
then,
it.
Then coordinator Giants, and then obviously it jumped from there.
He was on Ray Rhodes' staff. Then he followed Parcells around for a little bit, including Dallas. That was his last coordinator job in Dallas.
So I saw an article Joe Banner wrote today in which apparently they wanted to keep him as the quarterback's coach, and they thought eventually he'd become their coordinator, like he would rise up, which he did. He turned them down after the first year because he knew he could be a coordinator somewhere else.
Yep.
What could have been?
Yeah, they also wanted to keep Gruden over Ray Rhodes, but Ray had made the playoffs two years in a row, and they're like, well, damn, like we can't fire him. He's been making the playoffs, but they knew Gruden was a star in the making. The entire team was Gruden. Ray was good, but Gruden was you saw it right away. He was you could tell that he was a really gifted offensive coach. 215-592-9494. We're live at Chickens and Pete's. Marks and Reese, that's Joe Giglio. 215-592-9494. Today's broadcast brought to you by Chickens and Pete's, the new B-Doc Impact Burger. Still available for a limited time. $5 from every burger goes to the Brian Dawkins Impact Foundation. Details, chickensandpeets.com. Coming up, what did Shaq say last night about Ben Simmons? We'll play it for you and get back to your phone calls. Marks and Reese on 94WIP. Oh, man, we're back. Marks and Reese, a rowdy happy hour here today. Joe Giglio, Chickies and Pete's.
Here to listen to the show.
Yeah, I think that I polled everybody. I polled everybody during the break. They're all here for us,
That's
Joe.
That's what I thought.
Not Jack Fritz.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
Yeah. Well, we're live at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. For a limited time, I mentioned the B-Dog Impact Burger, but if you're looking to join a winning team, Chickies and Pete's now hiring all locations full and part-time. ChickiesandPete's.com. All right, so last night, and, you know, we're on the air, and news came down that LeBron was questionable for the game, and then he was out there and he was shooting, and he was wincing as he was shooting, and he was the knee was a little bit tender. So I figured that he wasn't going to play. Line shot all the way up to 6 points when it was announced he wasn't playing. But the Sixers rolled. It was a relatively easy win, you'd say.
Yeah.
Joe Giglio. But before the game, you know, the TNT crew, Charles, Shaq, et cetera, they're talking Sixers, and they're talking about Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Here's Shaq, and I love it because he doesn't even mention Ben Simmons by name. Listen.
E/I stay on big guys because I care about them. I want them to play a certain way. I want them to play at a certain level. Difference between him and his soft partner is he can take criticism without being a crybaby, and he still wants to play. Because me and Charles, we've been on him. We stay on him. We tell him to his face what he needs to do. He didn't cry. He didn't say, I want to be traded. He didn't, you know, complain about mistreatment. And that's the difference. That's why I like and respect him. The other guy I don't respect. I've been thinking about it. You're missing a whole season because they asked your coach a question, can we win without you? And your coach gave a funny answer. That should tell you you need to get in the summertime and work on your game. You don't think I haven't been criticized by you guys and Stephen A? You don't think I haven't been criticized by L.A. media, New York media? Great players get criticized, but the great players also step up to the criticism and perform. So this other guy, I don't respect him. I would get rid of him.
Yep.
He's spot on.
Yeah,
I think Embiid's won them over because remember 2 years ago? It's easy to forget now because how great Embiid's become. 2 years ago, he wasn't very good. And he was moping around, and he was out of shape, and they called him on it. And look, he's become – I mean, he's the favorite right now to win the MVP of the league.
Didn't they have a – wasn't there an interview where Embiid was like – Charles was talking to him or whatever, and Embiid was not happy talking to him on the air?
I think it was about 2 years ago.
It was. I mean, listen, the bottom line is that his fitness was an issue. The way he took care of himself was an issue. The stories about eating bags full of fast food on the plane or whatever, that was real. So you know what he did? Made some changes. And you see how much better the game is today for making those changes.
Yeah.
He was criticized. He answered the criticism. And that's what you do, right? Get pissed off about it. Be mad about it. You know what you do, Ben? Be mad at Doc Rivers and say, you know what, bleep him, but I'm going to come back. But he doesn't have it in him. What everybody realizes and stops working themselves up over Ben Simmons, he doesn't have it in him to work on his game, to do the foul shots, to do any of that stuff. He is what he is. So when he gets shipped off to wherever he's going to get traded to, he's going to be that player somewhere else.
Which is why I think it's hard for the Sixers to sell, oh, you can have Ben Simmons. Like, everyone knows this. Like
Everybody knows.
It's been in the league 5, 6 years now. This isn't a new thing.
So now what Daryl Morey's going to do if he doesn't trade him by the 10th is he's going to hope that a Bradley Beal says, nope, actually trade me. I want to be traded. I'm not signing. And maybe he gets lucky. And that's all Morey's doing is waiting to get lucky, waiting for something to happen with Lillard, waiting for something to happen with Beal or somebody else. The problem is the East isn't great this year. Joel Embiid is playing at an epic clip.
And they're going to waste it.
And if you – even that Sacramento trade, you might be the best team in the East.
Right. Every time someone says to me, well, what are you going to trade for him now that would make you a title team? Like anything.
The Sacramento trade.
Anything that they get for him now would make them better. Like they're getting zero out of Ben Simmons. Embiid's all by himself. Like, and they have some nice role players, but like Tobias, come on. Like, he's a third player, fourth player. They're just role players in this team.
And those role players become that much better when you actually bring in, like, at least with the Sacramento rumor trade, you're bringing in three significant pieces to your rotation.
Right. These are good players.
Good players. You're a significantly better team. You're a much deeper team. You don't have to rely on it. Because Maxey's kind of shown what he probably is.
He goes up and down.
Yeah, like, to me, he's a Lou Williams. He's a gunner. Not as good of a three-point shooter, but, like, he can score for sure. But I like Maxey a lot. He can be an important part of the team. But you still need more meat than you need some of this other stuff. You need meat on the bones in there. And, yeah, a trade right now could happen for you.
I can't believe they would waste this Embiid season. It's just, like, I feel like one day we might look back and say, we really believe they did that? This guy was the MVP of the league, and they didn't try to help him at the trade deadline?
All right, so official prediction.
If we don't, we don't.
You're the betting guy. That's essentially, Jack, what they're saying, is that,
the Phillies are wasting an MVP season from Bryce.
This is what we do in this city, just waste MVP seasons.
On the record right now, would you bet that he gets traded by the 10th or not?
I would bet he doesn't.
So you bet he doesn't get traded. Jack, would you bet that he gets traded or doesn't get traded?
Does not.
Yeah. See, because, like, but see, here's where I would say the one piece of me disagrees. Morey's really trying to to get this market going. Like, he's really trying to where if he really thought he had James Harden in the offseason, I don't think he's trying this hard. I don't think he's trying to get the Kings to increase their offer or give him what he's not looking for. Because if James Harden's guaranteed, or you really like James Harden's coming to Philly, then that's worth waiting for.
Yeah, if I knew that, I would just be sitting on my hands saying, like, all right, I'm getting a title next year. Like, but I it's very hard for me to buy it. It's a very strange, like, this just came out of nowhere 3 days ago. Like, all of a sudden now Harden's a Sixer? Then why? What have we been doing for the last year? It just, the whole thing is so bizarre.
It's bizarre. It is. It's
well, that's not true. I mean, it had been out there 2 months ago, and then now it's starting to get more and more smoke around. Now you might be starting a fire.
Yeah, you might be trying to start a fire, and everyone says, I don't know about this.
This is Maury, what he's known for is making deals and being aggressive, and just like Howie for so long tried to create a market for Carson Wentz that wasn't there. And anybody with half of a brain saw what was happening and what was trying to be done.
And then he took the best he could take.
And he actually did a good job, and he made the Colts wait a little bit. He had nowhere else to send Carson Wentz, and he ended up getting a first and a third out of it when it was all said and done. It feels like Maury's trying to do the same thing where he's trying to create this market that really isn't there for Ben Simmons. And it hasn't worked. Sacramento got close. I mean, if the Sacramento trade, the rumored Sacramento trade is real, that's a pretty good return, especially if you're able to get Tobias' salary the hell off the books.
Yeah, and what bothers me about the whole thing is Maury used to make all these trades in Houston. Like, why couldn't he trade Ben for something now and then? Then if he can still get Harden, why you could flip that stuff for Harden?
His last trade was for George Hill.
A year ago.
Which was totally underwhelming.
Waste of time.
But he did get rid of Horford.
Yeah, when he first got here, he did
get rid of Josh Richardson.
Yep. It just feels like he sat in his hands for a year. Like, where's the real Daryl Maury? I used to make trades every day.
Yeah, I'm just riffing, baby.
Yeah, he's on Twitter. Is he still active on Twitter all the
very
time?
Very active. He's tweeting last night back at people.
Oh, he was. Yeah. Oh, see, I don't
get off Twitter.
I don't. I don't believe I follow him. And any GM or president or coach that's active on Twitter, I want nothing to do
imagine
with.
Imagine if Howie was on Twitter.
Well, Howie probably is on Twitter.
Well, he's
with the actual account.
At Ethan from Doylestown.
No, but like
at Elliott Shore Park.
Steve Cohen, who's the owner of the Mets, him being active on Twitter and reacting to things is the worst possible scenario for your franchise.
Of course.
You know, and a GM being on Twitter is not, in my opinion, is bad for a franchise. It is not good. It is
but
not good.
For our purposes, we would appreciate it.
I mean, honestly, I'd rather he stayed off of Twitter and actually did a good job as a GM. Than being smug and being a smartass and tweeting back at people. So, anyway, Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're looking to get engaged, or maybe you got engaged over the holidays, you're looking for the wedding band. The place to go is Mark's Jewelers on Route 309 in Montgomeryville. Online, marks-jewelers.com. Best selection of diamond engagement and wedding bands in the entire area. All right, question is, would you trade a first-round pick in this year's draft and a first in next year's draft to the Niners for Trey Lance? If the 49ers go to the Super Bowl, Trey Lance might become available. Tough to move off of Jimmy Garoppolo, and they're able to get two first-round draft picks. So far, 81% says no.
So it's a little bit more reasonable than yesterday. It was a 90-10 split on the Russell Wilson stuff.
Jack, I have my new...
People would rather get Trey Lance than Russell Wilson?
You know what it is? I know. Well, it's the combination of that Russell costs more money and the picks.
Money.
This is just picks.
Which is even dumber because at least Russell Wilson, you know that he's a great quarterback.
Yeah, of your two ideas the last 2 days, I'd rather do the Russell Wilson thing. He is a great quarterback. Obviously, he's a great quarterback. Trey Lance, again, he couldn't beat out Garoppolo. He's played three games in 2 years.
Jack, my new favorite take on the station or on our show, and it's actually my least favorite take when I say it's my favorite take, is the Andy from Deptford type whining of, why can't you just let him play out next year? You know, you don't have to get another quarterback. He's fine. Just let him play. He's going to get better. Well, you always none of these other trades are going to happen.
Because
you know,
WIP, they're always looking for the next quarterback.
Yeah. You know, he's fine. Why are you looking for somebody? He's fine. You trade for Russell Wilson. It's not going to happen. It's so stupid. Okay. Like, yeah, your simple mind thinks it's stupid. But if Howie was smart, he'd be investigating these things. Because they know Jalen Hurts isn't their quarterback in the future. Gilio, they know that. And you know that they know that.
I don't know if they know that.
You know that.
I don't know that.
You know it. Let's go to Chris in Phoenixville. Chris, how are you, buddy? What's up?
Gentlemen, how you doing on this cold, snowy day?
What's it doing in Phoenixville right now, Chris? Some snow,
well,
heavy snow?
I'm technically in Devon right now, but it's not much. I mean, today's like
some light snow.
One inch light.
Dope.
I didn't Are you guys in the Malvern location at Chicken Pizza or down in the center state?
We're in South Philly, so there's barely any – yeah, there's not even any snow anywhere. I actually had to do some shoveling today before I came in.
Yeah, it stopped now. It's going to pick up, I guess, again, when we're on our way home tonight or something.
Right.
So what does Ben Simmons and Russell Wilson have in common?
Ben Simmons and Russell Wilson? You tell us.
Well, Ben Simmons is going to earn $37 million next year, or actually $35 next year, and Russell Wilson is going to be about $37 million. But one gives you production that's more well-rounded. The other one is one-dimensional, maybe two-dimensional. But the leagues are different. So the NBA, anybody can make the All-Star team. I mean, he got two votes this year, which is ridiculous.
And Wiggins is a starter in the West.
Well,
which is,
he got some sort of pop star to help him get votes online.
Yeah,
that was some stupid story.
Yeah, well, that's because his agent told people to vote for Ben. That's just showing you how bad the NBA is when it comes to voting for Ben,
right.
The All-Star team. You know, nothing's merit-based nowadays. Everybody wants it hot. They want it now. And they live by cryptocurrency, which is going to go down once the Federal Reserve steps in. So I would say
that I'm doubling down.
If you're looking at numbers, Garoppolo is not going to be a Giant next year because he's going to be a free agent after next year, and he's
right.
going to be earning way too much for what he's producing. And so Lance will be the quarterback for them. They're not going to trade Lance because he's under control. He's earning about $7 million next year or $6 million.
That's not the question.
But
would you do it?
I would take Lance in a heartbeat because I've been consistent since day one. Hurts does not have a strong enough arm to be a top tier quarterback. Garoppolo is, you know, what he is.
Yeah.
And he's made bad decisions consistently. So if you're doing the same thing and expecting different results, you know where that goes. If you're doing everything that everybody else is doing and expecting better than average results, you're also insane. So Sean Payton thing, he'll either wind up in Dallas after they decide to part ways with McCarthy 1 year from now, or he'll wind up with the Miami Dolphins if Rodgers decides to sign as a free agent in Miami. But I think he's going to Denver just because of the offensive coordinator. But I think
the Broncos, I thought they were going to do that. I thought they were going to hire Hackett just because of the relationship he has and being the coordinator of the Packers. It makes sense. They're making a run at Aaron Rodgers. He's the missing piece.
Think about the quarterbacks in that division next year. If they get him, Mahomes, Herbert, Rodgers.
I mean, and Derek Carr is no pushover.
And he's easily the fourth.
Easily.
He's the worst quarterback in the division.
And I think if you're the Broncos, the example and the template is there of what happened with Peyton Manning.
Sure.
He went there. They had a ready-made team. They had a dominant defense. They had enough on offense for sure. And he went there. They went to a Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl. Right?
And his fiance also has a house in Boulder.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, she also – what was she doing? Eating mud or something
she
before?
Clay, yeah.
Clay, that's what it was, yeah. Yeah, she would fit right in out there.
Yeah, that works perfectly. The two of them.
Find some peyote.
Are you watering and are you fertilizing every day?
Right. It actually would be a good fit.
Oh, I could see it.
Yeah. It'd be a pretty good fit. So just like stay with me here for a second, because I've seen a lot of people that say like, well, 49ers aren't trading Trey Lance. This is so stupid. So Jimmy Garoppolo is under contract for next year, and it's not guaranteed. And like he's a free agent. He could go anywhere. And they actually drafted Trey Lance to be the replacement for Jimmy Garoppolo. But keep this in mind. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl here in Philadelphia. He doesn't keep the job because Carson Wentz, when, you know, he was a high draft pick, but he also produced on the field.
Sure.
So he had the 2017 season, and he showed a lot of promise in 2016. Trey Lance hasn't shown any promise on the field. Carson Wentz actually showed. I'm shocked that Carson Wentz didn't end up working out after seeing him play in 2017. So, like, I think it was easier for the Eagles as an organization to say, we're moving on from Nick Foles. We do have a resume on Nick Foles, and we like Nick Foles, but he can't stay healthy. And Carson Wentz, you know, this is what he's done. So it's an easier decision to make. With Jimmy Garoppolo, if you win a Super Bowl or go back to a Super Bowl, when you win a Super Bowl, that changes everything. That changes everything to where, yeah, you would have thought you wouldn't re-sign a guy like Garoppolo, and maybe you're not that impressed with what he does on the field. Super Bowl changes everything. Everybody gets re-signed. Look at the Eagles re-signed everybody here after they won a Super Bowl.
The only quarterback I remember winning a Super Bowl as a starter, not like a Hostetler thing, that wasn't the quarterback of that team the next year was Dilfer. I think they replaced him with, like, Elvis Gerbach. But Garoppolo's better than Trent Dilfer.
Oh, clearly.
Yeah, like, this isn't, like, that was an anomaly. Garoppolo's a pretty good quarterback. Whether I don't know if he's, like, the 16th or whatever. Like, he's not bad.
He's got a better skill set than Trent Dilfer.
Of course, yeah. And look, if Garoppolo wins a Super Bowl, there's no way he's not their starting quarterback next year.
Yep.
And then
what happens if they win 12 games next year? Then you're moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo. I know that the Packers moved on from Brett Favre after an MVP season. So that's there, and Aaron Rodgers wasn't the third overall pick. He was further in the 20s, but they went to him. But still, that's a ballsy move to make, to move away from a starter that's working for a guy that's unproven.
And also, at that point, Favre was 38. Garoppolo's 31.
And he was a pain in the ass, too, Favre.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't wait to get that guy out the door.
Right.
Ironically, now it's happening again. Another pain in the butt, this quarterback. It's like, he's like Favre all over again.
Garoppolo is not final year or two. Can easily make the case of, we need to re-sign Garoppolo, not let him go and give Trey Lance the keys of the organization.
Right, which means he could be available, which means your idea has some merit, and I say, don't do it.
Hey, tell that to those 49ers Twitter, Jack, that have been attacking you in your mentions.
Well, listen, sometimes you can only lead the camel to water. You can't make him drink it.
Exactly right. Let's go to Herb. Herb in Northeast Philly. Herbert, how are you, bud?
What's happening, Johnny Marks?
Where are you? Oh, you have a bad echo.
I'm home relaxing.
Yeah? Feet up on the couch?
I didn't know you were down there. I would have came down.
Oh, yeah. We're here on Fridays now, Herb.
I gotta tell Ike Reese, what did he do? Go to a funeral in Cincinnati?
Yes, he did. Yes.
All right. Well, when he comes back, he tells him, I said, give him my best about the family.
I'm sure you're going to do. We'll talk to you next week, I'm sure, Herb.
But,
hey, Ben. How you been, buddy?
I'm hanging in there. The only thing I got to say right now is, Andy Reid, go get it, my man. I think you're going to win this week, and you're going to win in 2 weeks. Go get number two, and hopefully all the physical and mental stuff goes away.
Now, are you an Andy friendly, Herb?
Of course I'm friend. Well, not like he used to be when he was. Dangerous.
You guys are acquaintances, though.
I'll be visiting the Big Red one of these days.
Will you go to the parade in Kansas City?
No, I ain't going to no parade.
Okay.
Do you know Herb was at umpire school week or the week before?
Like big league umpire school?
I'm going to go see him in his office.
All right. So Herb, we never got your umpire story. Because you were on the bus and people didn't want to hear. So what does your call strike three sound like? That's what I wanted to know.
My call strike three, I give it to him, you know?
Ha!
Do the call, Herb.
Strike three.
Thank you.
And then do you raise the arm or do you, like, punch the arm out?
I think you got to do a punch.
The left and then under the right one goes on.
There you go.
It really pops out and it grows.
That's what we're looking for, Herb. Detail.
And you only do that when the batter's up there and he don't swing. When he swings, you don't do that.
Right.
It's a
called strike.
You're ringing him up.
Works. We've watched baseball, Herb.
Yeah, Herb, you got to ring him up. We get it.
So listen.
Yeah.
This Eagles thing, I'm going to tell you right now. Right now I'm watching Super Bowl 43. And like I say, we need to get receivers, okay, that run short pattern, medium pattern, long, and the long pattern.
All three.
You understand? We're going to need a couple receivers.
Right.
And, you know, to help out Devontae, like I told you.
All right.
I want to see them develop.
What about the running game, though? Because you're more of a run game coordinator than a passing guy, Herb.
Yeah, we got to run the ball. I told you, 45 to 50% of the time, okay,
Herb, thank you. Have a great weekend. Be careful of the snow out there. Unfortunately, the expectation of this damn team to run the ball 65% of the time, the fans are going to now expect that, Joe Giglio.
Yeah, and moving forward, they shouldn't run it that much.
No, they should no. They should run. They should throw it 70% of the time.
Well, that's
65
a
lot. To 70% of the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I would say what well, I with Jalen.
Not with Jalen. No, with a real quarterback.
Well, no, I think
with it's, their future.
I would say 55-45 is fine for me next year with Hurts. 55 throw, 45 run.
Okay.
More yeah, back to normal.
That would be. That
I mean,
would
I think
also
balance.
Part
of it was they were trying to keep their bad defense off the field. I think part of the strategy was it's better to run on for our offense. Also, let's keep this defense off the
field. I agree with you.
Yeah.
No, I mean, why would you want to? Why would you want them to them to be on the field more, right? And it did. It helped. Also helped Jalen in the offense. 215-592-9494. Elliott Shore Parks. We'll get back to your phone call, so don't go anywhere. But Elliott Shore Parks, would he do this deal? Is he surprised by the lack of buzz around Doug getting a head coaching job? And should we be worried about it losing any Eagles assistance this week? And what happened to the great Gannon?
Still could be Houston. That's the one spot. It might be him and Josh McCown as the finalists for the Texans.
He ain't getting the job.
JG.
Dude. He's not getting
the job. Now you're the JG.
That's right. There's already one. How many JGs we need around here? We got Girardi.
Yeah, we got to get him out of here, Gannon. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I might outlast all these JGs around here.
Probably will, Joe Giglio. You probably will. Also, what are the ramifications with the retirement of Brandon Brooks as far as salary and who becomes the starter? Has that changed things going forward? That's coming up next with Elliott. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. We are live at Chiggs and Pete's in South Philadelphia. But hey, listen, let's talk about betting. We're always talking about betting, but bet with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. They welcome you with a special offer on the NBA. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game, and if either team hits a three-pointer, you'll win $200 in free bets. That's regardless of your bet's outcome. The bonus code to use, MARKS200, when you make your first bet. Plus, you'll earn M Life rewards, and BetMGM is proud to be an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. So download the app or go to BetMGM.com. The bonus code to use, MARKS200, to win $200 in free bets if a three-pointer is made in the game you wager on.